Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today, we have a special episode of the people at Lime, and yours truly, you heard that right, I will be being interviewed by our VP of Business Development, Erica C. Cray. Thanks for doing this. Welcome to the show.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to being the one to interview you. I'm so super exciting to change it up. Have lots of questions for you. You ready to get started?
Let's do it.
All right. Awesome. Question number one, Nick. I think a lot of us know your story, why you started Lime, but why exactly did you choose to franchise?
Oh my gosh. Franchising is just one of many ways to deliver a service, a product. You can expand a lot of ways. Traditional way being, you know, corporate expansion. But to your point, franchising, you'll see it here. E-Myth right there, revisited by Michael Gerber. That book back in college introduced me to franchising, and I had no idea what franchising was prior. But what I did know was that these clients I was working with, they were really struggling. They were struggling to find consistent, reliable painters, and they owned a high-end home. They owned many high-end vehicles, probably multiple homes, and they had just had dinner with friends at a high-end restaurant. Everywhere that they do business and interact with the marketplace, they want to pay more to get more. And I learned about that in college, in marketing, in a positioning class, learning about just that. If you have two accesses, one being price, one being quality, as an organization, right? Everything you do from operations to sales, everything in between, it is designed for where you fit in the market. You obviously can't be everything to everybody. And so here I was in college painting. That's how I was paying my way through college. I was an out-of-state student at Michigan State from Colorado. And my gosh, out-of-state tuition is just how outrageous. And I found myself painting homes. I started a company called Spartan College Painters. And I looked at the bigger the homes, the bigger the college bills it would help me pay. That was my logic in college. Here I am in business school, 2 years in, and I'm learning about simple things like competitive advantage. And I'm thinking about my time working for these clients and very basic things like showing up, answering my phone, doing a good job. I was getting those sorts of compliments. And that was the competitive advantage, doing what I said I was going to do. It's remarkable, the lack of trust in the market. I often would hear things like, Nick, are you going to run off with my deposit? And are you going to charge me more when you start the job? Nick, are you going to job hop? Job hop, what does that mean, right? Well, when you start the job, you come back, I don't hear from you. I said, wow, no, I'm just going to paint your home. And we will gladly start and end on time. Then you overlap that competitive advantage with positioning through my marketing class, and the light bulbs going off, and a mentor handed me that book, E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, and that's where I learned about franchising. And Michael Gerber does such a great job of making the business model, the expansion strategy, very simple, very straightforward. There's roles, there's processes. You create systems that duplicate results. And you do it in a way where you work on the business, not in the business. For me, that was about 14 years ago when I learned about franchising. And I really loved it because I grew up a gym rat and actually wrestled at Michigan State my freshman year. And the locker room aspect was just, you know, it was just very much a way of life. And so this idea of having business, which I love because you can work toward goals, you can execute strategies, and you can learn techniques and develop and do that alongside with others. And that is a lot like sports. And so the two go hand in hand. And that franchise model introduced all of that. And for me, that is why I knew that franchising was the way in which I would deliver this need in the market. What I was solving in just the locally Lansing market, you know, nobody was doing it nationally, this whole high-end focus, this positioning in the market, but yet it's this massive painting industry. And the beautiful thing about that is franchising is standardizing home improvement in general. And if you look over the past 5 years specifically, it's been incredible the amount of momentum that has catapulted different franchise companies within the home improvement sector. And the reason why is it creates mutual synergy, mutual value between entrepreneurs coming together in a franchise relationship and working collectively to provide value to the end consumer, to the customer. And that is an incredible model that I could talk about all day. It is so exciting, but those would be some of my initial thoughts.
Awesome. Well, thanks for filling in our listeners as far as your background and why you came up with Lime, and also why you chose to franchise the brand. And of course, there's now over 100 territories awarded under Lime Paintings. Not only was the concept there was proven and continues to be, kudos to you in really breaking through that luxury space, specifically in home restoration. Very exciting. Next question is a two-part question. Number one, again, for some of our viewers who may not know what Lime stands for, what does it stand for? And the second part is, what was the process for coming up with that name for your brand?
Well, Lime stands for love, integrity, mission, and excellence. And it was actually a customer. He had grown a successful moving company, and I was working with him on painting his interior. And he said, Nick, you know, after meeting you, working with you, you do business a lot like me and my partners did, but you wouldn't necessarily know that. And so what we did when we grew our moving business is we put our values everywhere on our t-shirts, you name it. There wasn't a customer or a mover that didn't know what we stood for. And I took that advice and I thought about, hey, what are the core aspects of what represents the experience at Lime? And love, integrity, mission, and excellence were the byproduct. But if you look at Get Limed, many of our customers get limed, and that is also an extension of our values. It stands for gratitude, enthusiasm, tenacity, love, integrity, mission, excellence, and discipline. But that is how we show up in the market. It's how we serve our customers. We talk about a lot. Those are our superpowers. Whether it is the artisans we're working with, our vendor partners, our end consumers, our colleagues, we choose to show up in the marketplace reflecting our core values of Get Limed. And that is what it means to get limed.
Awesome. I'm curious, the color lime, is this coincidental? It made sense at the time, or was this intentional?
The color, right? It certainly puts a smile on your face. Yeah. Green is such a happy color. It always puts a smile on my face. My gosh, you just look at lime green and you can't help but be happy. Those are some of my favorite reasons for the color, but frankly, the reasoning, you're probably catching a theme here, had a really great marketing program, and you know, there's no better sales tool than a job site. And I was sitting in a neighborhood in college, probably my fourth year, looking at all the homes that we had serviced over a couple streets, and there were a lot of them. And I couldn't help but think, my gosh, nobody knows the amount of customers that we have served, the amount of solutions that we provided. At the time, we were wearing just white, like partner t-shirts and not taking advantage of any branding. Being that I went to Michigan State, the Spartans, they're green, right? What color stands out more than lime green? We often joke you can see our job sites from space. That's the whole point. Neighbors are often walking by. They're observing the project. Many times our projects take a week or two, 4+ weeks. These are very large projects. We do many coatings. And so we are able to, we often talk about become the friendly neighborhood painter that is an expert. We work in beautiful places for beautiful people with beautiful people. We just love seeing our green compound throughout neighborhoods and cities. We know that we are showing up in the market, bringing tremendous value through our core values of Get Limed.
Cool. So it's not just to bring out your good tan then. Let's move on a little bit. We actually touched on this in our first question, or your response did, but I have a question around the luxury space, this demographic that you specifically go after. Why exactly? I mean, you touched on competitive advantage and positioning, but it's a very definitive clientele.
Right. You can't be everything to everybody. Think about just an access of price and quality, a couple accesses. And one is low price, low quality. I love the quick service restaurant space. We can all relate to it. Think about McDonald's. That is certainly low price, low quality, but it's convenient and it's fantastic for where it needs to be for us in the market. When we want to pay more to get more, we'll do that. When we want to pay less to get less, we'll do that, right? And every industry has segmentation from a pricing and quality perspective. And so as industries mature, right, franchising, think about the movie The Founder, right? Franchising came into the quick service space and transformed what used to be diners all across the country and standardized solutions, provided great food in standardized ways, like Michael Gerber talks about. Process, systems, roles to create consistent results. That is the beauty of the franchise model. And every franchise organization has their unique process, systems, roles, outcomes, positioning in the market to the point we're making right now. Each company is going to settle in, and the franchise space, franchise industry standardized the diners in the 70s, 80s, 90s, you get that segmentation. Guess what's happening in the home improvement space as we speak? COVID really set off what has been there the whole time, which is you have these companies that everybody needs and that have to be done commercially and residentially. And much like the dining space, the customer wants consistency, right? And so that's why everybody wins in franchising. You create a standard and consistent result for the marketplace. And that creates healthy competition. Companies improve the customer experience. And at the end of the day, customers win, and that's what's most important. But yeah, those would be some of my thoughts.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. You are Mr. Franchise. When I think of someone who just really embodies it, loves it, it's you, Nick Lopez. Can you tell us a little bit more about why you love the franchise model?
I love the franchise model because it makes entrepreneurship accessible for the everyday American. It hasn't always, but we're in a special time in history where it hasn't been easier for the everyday American to access business ownership and to do it through franchising. And the space is only growing. It's hit a really special place in its history in terms of being accessible and is only becoming more and more understood. And frankly, is also really picking up legs internationally. The future is bright in franchising because it provides community that rallies behind delivering an exceptional and consistent customer experience. And that could be across many different sectors. And that's not what's always known about franchising. You know, you think franchising is McDonald's, right? The quick service space. The nice thing is franchising went out into that industry and really made its name there, but has continued to do that since in many different spaces. As long as it's ethical, moral, and makes money, as one of my old mentors used to say all the time, it can be franchised, right? And that includes things like paint companies and all the other home improvement organizations that are being standardized.
Right. Well, thanks for that insightful response. Definitely motivating as well. I'd like to ask you a few questions about yourself. Are you game?
Let's do it.
All right. What does the morning of a CEO franchisor look like?
The morning, my gosh. I try to keep my first third of the day uninterrupted. It is where I like to do my deep work, not be distracted, minimize meetings. Doesn't always go that way, but it is more and more over time. My mornings can also include going to the gym. I go to the gym 4 days a week. For me, that is important for a lot of reasons. But again, going back to that gym rat, right? Growing up, the athlete in me, it's never really gone away. Growing up, my parents used to put me in three sports just to keep me from tearing the house apart. A lot of energy. I love going to the gym 4 days a week. And I think that is so critical for taking care of the temple. And you talk about high performance, you talk about being the best version of yourself, right? I've only become more and more aware over time of how many folks depend on me. I want to invest in my physical health, my mental health, my emotional health, my spiritual health as much as I can, so that I can consistently show up for, you know, all of the folks that do just that with and for. I would also say that my mornings are consistent, right? I'm definitely a creature of habit. I love routine. And that is so foundational when it comes to, you know, one of our core values, discipline. Right? The power of compounding comes because of discipline, consistency. So I don't necessarily believe in, I don't know, I guess I don't know what I believe in terms of how to approach a morning, but that's where I have settled in. And the other thing that I would share is that in my mornings, that is usually when I read scripture, study the Bible, meditate, pray. So definitely need to mention that piece because frankly, for me, that is my superpower, my faith. I really get time alone in my faith, in my mornings. And again, it goes back to showing up for the folks that I serve, work with, lead, and that spiritual peace. But again, the mornings are so critical. You want to get a strong start, and a lot of your issues will be taken care of from a time perspective by just waking up earlier. Everything that I'm talking about is a marathon. It's not a race. My gosh, I don't beat myself up when I'm not waking up at 3, 4, 5 a.m. every day, but I like to get ahead by getting up at 3 as many days out of the week as I can. And I'm getting up without an alarm. I'm excited. A lot of mornings, especially when I'm working on projects, if I have a project that's really clear and I'm excited about it, well, you bet I'm going to be sad to go to bed at night and stop working on it. And I'm going to be excited to wake up shortly after and get back to it. So a little bit about my mornings.
Sounds like taking care of the mind, body, soul, being consistent, disciplined. And like you said, this is a marathon, not a race. So it's just doing the behaviors daily. So thanks for sharing that. So outside of your mornings, what does Nick Lopez do in his free time?
Free time, my gosh. Well, family time is what I do with most of that time. We like to travel, and my kids are involved in activities, whether it's my boys wrestling, or my girls doing dance and cheer, or soccer and different events and presentations and singing and recitals and so many activities that the kiddos have. Currently, our kids are 4, 5, 7, and 8. My wife and I are currently in year 11 of marriage. We definitely have to commit to routines every Friday, date night with the wife. It's been that way for so many years. Free time on Fridays, you know that we're going to be doing something fun, but usually simple, going out and watching sports. We like to catch football games, anything Spartan related, we're doing it. As you can tell here, the Broncos, the Avalanche, those Colorado teams, we're always showing up in our gear. If I'm not in Lime gear, it's likely that I'm in some sort of sports gear. And, you know, it could be for my kids, could be, you know, just entertainment. What I do with my free time, love to travel, sporting events, family, whatever activities that they have. And, you know, I met my wife 16 years ago. I started my painting career 16 years ago. For me, the painting business, it has certainly been a lifestyle throughout my entire life, through a lot of stages. And the free time, a lot of that is also business time and vice versa. It's really a lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's hard to imagine you have so much energy left over after being a franchisor, running corporate locations and attending all the events you do, 4 kids, wife, home. Definitely impressive to say the least.
Erica,
I have a couple more questions for you. Yes.
Let me share this.
Yes.
None of that is me. All of that is other folks. It definitely takes a community, and I have seen that become true watching Lime open about 25 states, about 90 territories or so. You were talking about 110 territories awarded, but that has certainly been the reality. It's been me with these crazy ideas and vision and, you know, a lot of folks with dreams that align with that vision. And that's the great thing about Lime Painting and the Lime Empire is that it's an empire and a vision and a dream big enough to fit a lot of empires, visions, and dreams. It's a lot of folks connected within a community. And so that's the beautiful thing about a franchise organization. We are collaborating and united behind what we do in the marketplace. And that is a tremendous strength of a franchise organization. that is a lot of mutual benefit. And not every franchise organization benefits from what we're talking about, which is culture is king. And, you know, beat strategy every time. But culture and strategy is undeniable. Yeah, I would just add that it's the culture at Lime. It's the people at Lime. It's way beyond me. I oftentimes get in the way. And if you go across all of our departments, there are folks in our departments that are way better at what they do than me. And I'm just in the way. A lot of smart, talented folks at Lime, and not just at our home office, right? Think about our franchise partners. My gosh, true entrepreneurs in their markets, living out our values and delivering need to our niche in their community, right? Our franchise partners are what makes Lime special. The teams that they build and their individual personalities and life experience and skill sets. We can't replicate that, but that's the beauty of the franchise model. We can replicate our process, our sophistication, our white collar processes in a blue collar space. We provide that, but our franchise partners provide their talents and their ability to lead folks in their community and provide jobs in their local community. And that's what I love about our core value of mission, right? Using our business as a way to give back. We're delivering value in the market, and that's ultimately why we're successful, but also remembering to give back to that community. And that's a choice. That's a way of showing up. That's a way of doing business. And again, just going back to our core values of how we show up in the market. And so many folks, whether it's our employees and the sales teams that are franchise partners are bringing on board, or franchise partners, our home office, even our vendor partners, we are showing up and choosing the differentiated services that we offer, our core values. That is way beyond any one location, any one individual. That encompasses a lot of communities and a lot of jobs and a lot of opportunity. So it really is an honor.
That sounds a lot like gratitude, Nick. So you being grateful for community, culture, the franchise partners, home office, vendors, thank you for taking the time to acknowledge that. What words of advice would you give a new entrepreneur?
Wow. I would say just do it.
That's it. Just do it.
Just do it. Absolutely. I mean, think about being a new entrepreneur. So much of what you are facing is lack of doing.
And I couldn't agree more.
When you are doing, right, you only realize how much sooner you should have acted. But that's okay. Everybody has their story and gets to a point of acting, right? But I've always loved that saying, just do it. And it's so true in any high performance situation, not just athletics. That's, again, why I love athletics and entrepreneurship and the overlap there. Many other spaces overlap with high performance. Yeah, that's certainly some things that come to mind.
Entrepreneurship simplified. Just do it.
Just do it.
Love it.
Yeah. Erica, hear me out on this, right? 95% of results is what?
Execution.
Execution. So 5% is vision. That vision better be really good then, right? But 95% is execution, operations, just are doing it. And oh my gosh, when you focus on the sophistication around how you're doing it in combination with doing it, now we're cooking. And that's what I also love about a franchise model is you have the blueprint. You have the formula, the process, and the training, the support across the aspects of your business. Because why? Well, the model's been leaned into and others have operated it and done just that. And there's a community that is aligned around all of the aspects that allow you to scale your business.
Well said. Thank you. I do have one more question.
All right.
What does the future of Lyme hold?
The future of Lyme, it's a heck of a lot more folks getting Lymed. That is what the future looks like if you can close your eyes and imagine a company that is a luxury home improvement company. Name it, close your eyes and name it. Probably unlikely, right? The future of Lyme is stepping more and more into our reality of standardizing the luxury sector in not just painting, but home improvement. As we talked about, as spaces mature, more segmentation happens. It's the natural process of a space standardizing, and it is truly an honor to be making history with so many other folks at Lyme in so many different communities with so many different talents. Every day, it is an honor to stay committed to the marathon that is the Lyme life, because it is clear that we are providing a solution to customers that really struggle to find a solution like ours in the home improvement space. And guess what? There will be many other options in the future. And that is the entire point, to elevate the industry, to elevate the franchise space, and obviously to elevate the painting category. And all of that to result in elevating people's lives in communities all across the country. And that is certainly a special calling, and one that we are on at Lyme, and one that is not just being talked about on this show, but one that we often talk and own and step into all across Lyme. It's why we are all united and doing what we're doing at Lyme. It certainly is special, and you can't replicate culture, and that is certainly a huge part of our secret sauce at Lyme. My hope would be the talented, special, unique folks that believe in our vision, that they would continue to step into leadership and be empowered and make lasting differences in their communities.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully this was as insightful, motivational for our viewers as it was for me. Thank you for letting me interview you today, Nick.
Absolutely. My goodness, this was certainly a fun episode, Erica. You really stepped in as a host today and did a great job. If you would like to get in touch with me or Erica, hop onto our Lyme Painting website. You can inquire. We'd be happy to chat one-on-one. But Erica, if anyone would like to reach out to you specifically, how can they get in touch with you?
Sure. You can find me on LinkedIn, Erica Segre, or you can send me an email, esegre@limepainting.com.
There you go. And smash that subscribe button down below. It's how we are able to grow and bring high performers on to the show and help others level up. Drop a comment down below. I would love to hear your thoughts. And as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show.